Welcome to Let's Talk Canine Fitness with your hosts, Katerina Mattioli and Dr. Leslie I. Join us for the monthly podcast on all things dog fitness. Young, old, overweight, or athletic, our passion for canine fitness has you covered. Hello! Welcome to Let's Talk Canine Fitness. Hi, Katerina.
Hi, Leslie. Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine. We have very nice weather here. Spring is coming. Cherry tree starts blooming outside. I can just see it. It's so nice.
Yay! I'm excited for spring.
Oh, yes.
We get more sunshine.
I'm not a winter person, so I'm very happy.
Exactly. I completely agree. I am not good with winter, especially here, because it rains all the time. And you can't... It's rainy, it's yucky, I don't want to go out. I like spring. Yeah.
I like Me too. And my dogs hate winter. They don't like it. So maybe that's just me. So they are like I am. So maybe.
Yeah.
So we are all happy here and enjoy
it. Good. Well, it's time for a mini-sode, which is mostly comprised of questions from our patrons. So remember, if you want to submit questions, you can become a patron for as little as $4 a month and get your question answered on a mini-sode. So let's get started. We've got two questions from our patrons this week. The first one is from Rebecca Estebo. She wants to know more about repetitive stress injuries, such as common causes and ways to prevent them. More specifically, she's talking about these repetitive stress injuries in an agility context, with stuff like contacts, but you know, it does happen in other sports as well. So I guess first we should kind of talk about what are repetitive stress injuries, and do we really think they occur in dogs? You know, I definitely hear people talk about their dog's injury as a repetitive stress injury. And I think from a human background, you know, we definitely think about certain sports there's parts of the body that are more likely to be injured. So I think about like swimming and rotator cuffs, baseball pitchers and rotator cuffs, tennis players, golfers, it's more of elbow issues. And part of like what happens is in order to do these sports or to perform these sports, we move our body in the same way over and over and over, and then potentially get injured from it. So does that happen to dogs is an interesting question. First, let's kind of talk about like what they do in people. So we know they usually, like, they do stuff to try and prevent it. Like, if you become a swimmer, they're like, okay, this could happen to you. Let's do things to prevent it. And what I'm going to say is one of the preventions is not just don't swim.
That's the best.
Right?
Point.
Like, it's hard to say just don't do the movement that causes the injury, because that's part of, it's a key aspect of the sport, right? So how do we prevent this from happening while still having to perform the movement? And I think the key is just preventative. It's prehab. Yeah. It's doing exercises. I mean, it's basically everything we're doing, right?
Yeah, it's strengthen the part that is prone to that injury that is most common in the sport they're doing. I think I'm personally thinking about soccer players or football players, you know, as we Europeans say, with knee injuries. So I think that that is the part they strengthen next to the sport they are doing.
So, I agree. I think a lot about how, as a swimmer, you know, we spent a lot of times doing very specific shoulder exercises, shoulder movements every day to get all those tiny muscles and keep our rotator cuff strong, because we still had to spend, you know, 4 to 5 hours in the pool actually swimming to get better for our sport. So yeah. I think in dogs, I mean, a couple ways I would think to prevent it is, number one, do your strengthening exercises, do your prehab. Number two, also be smart about how you're training it. So again, I'm not going to say don't do the activity that causes it, but also have a reason for why you're doing it. I think a lot of times we tend to just do things over and over and over again, and maybe we don't need to do them so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, really think about how you design your training plan for your sport. Another thing I'm playing around with, which might come as a surprise to Katarina, I've actually started using, and this isn't really repetitive stress injury, but it's more for like impact of jumping and the contacts if you're doing a two on two off. I've started using my Fit Bar as a way to kind of absorb excessive impact. So when I'm having the dogs do different exercises where maybe they're like coming down off of a contact, I have the Fit Bar there instead of them just using the ground. They go into position with the Fit Bar. Or when they do their box jumps, instead of just jumping back off the ground, they jump on their equipment and then they use the Fit Bar to take some of that impact off of their body.
This is perfect. I love to hear that, because it's exactly what you can use them for, because they are a little bit bouncy, depending on the amount of air that is in them, and they really help to absorb the shock. So this is if you have to do repetitive exercises, then you can use such aids, helpers, so to help your dog not to get injured or not to have as much stress on that particular body part.
Exactly. So I've been having fun playing around with that. It's a great use for them.
You can use the one. Have you used the 100? The square one, the big one. I think that one that size is perfect for this.
That's my training room one, and then I have the smaller one in here for when I do stuff. So, and then the Fit Bar for the smaller areas too. The other thing I want to say about repetitive stress injuries in dogs, because of course, when I see that, what first comes to my mind is shoulder injuries, especially in the agility dog. That's where I hear a lot of people use that term. And I'm going to say, I'm not convinced yet that it's from the sport specifically that it's a repetitive stress injury. I'm going to say, I think there's still some evidence that it's from the front is overworking because of an issue with the rear legs. Whether there's an unknown injury in the rear legs, or the rear legs are weak and they've just learned to do everything with their front, I think a lot of times that plays a big role in causing these injuries. So even though we say like focus on strengthening the area, in a dog, also focus on strengthening the other end, because we don't want them It's trying to do everything with one side and not the other.
Yeah. I think they should just should focus on the whole body awareness exercises, so they are aware of the rear and the core strengthening, and then they should take those pictures to look how balanced their dog is, how balanced their dog stands and moves, so you can do videos to just check these parts. So I think these things help to prevent injuries when you just do these exercises to that we are doing for show dog training. These help a lot for sports dogs as well, because you are training your eye, you train your dog to stand balanced, and this is something very important, that they are aware of the rear, and this it helps not to overload the front.
Exactly. And I think that's really important. And I think sometimes we miss that. We don't, like you said, our eye isn't developed for seeing it happen. And then we do things over and over and over, and it just adds up and causes these problems.
I just can imagine from my own point of view, when you like doing a sport, you just want to do the sport, and then the things around are a bit like, oh my god, I have to do that, but I'm not really in the mood to do that. So you have to be very very strict doing those. And I think when it comes to your dog, I think when you do it for yourself, you maybe do it more than if it comes to work with your dog, because you love the teamwork in your sport. So
exactly, yeah,
I think that's a little problem, and then it depends how much your dog likes to doing those exercises that help them if you're not as happy to doing it. Because I think when you like doing it, when you're passionate about doing it, the dog loves it.
Yeah. And it makes it, yeah, that lends you to like you said, you just want to keep doing the fun things,
yeah,
and not the work to help them be prepared for it.
But I mean, you know from your personal experience how much it takes a human athlete, the work besides the sports they are doing. I mean, how many hours they do cardio strengthening training, and how many hours effective they compete in their sport or their practice.
Exactly.
Sport. So it's this is thinking something to keep an eye on, to prevent those repetitive stress injuries.
Perfect. Awesome question, Rebecca. Thank you so much for submitting.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Let's move on to question number two, which is from Laura Dunn, who asks about how to recognize muscle fatigue beyond the obvious. So for her, the obvious is like refusals, panting, stuff like that. She specifically sees muscle twitching, but she's not sure what that means for the dog. So this is a great question, because we talk about fatigue a lot and how we want to make sure we're doing exercises that are hard enough for the dog, because if everything's easy, we aren't really making any progress. So we need to see some fatigue in order to know that we're doing an appropriate amount. And on the other side, we also don't want to work through a lot of fatigue, because that can lead to injury. So we have to be really careful with that. So what do you think, Katarina? What are some signs of fatigue that you see that maybe are a little less obvious?
I had a great lesson with my clients, with my senior dogs this week, and we have someone new who joined us, and then she was very excited in working with her dog, and after a few minutes she was like, oh, he's not in it anymore. He's just sitting down all the time. And I was like, and so we were talking about this, and I was wanted to hear what she's thinking, why he's doing this. And she was like, yeah, I think it's maybe because of the other dogs, and he's excited. And I was like, I don't think so. And then she, yeah, can it be that he's already tired? And I was like, I think so. If you look at your dog, if you looked at him before we started, how his posture was, and if you let him stand in front of the mirror now, just check him out. And an eye opener for her, and it was a great thing to see how people who are new to this kind of exercises, that they see the change in the dog, but they, in the beginning, they don't know exactly what it means.
What it is, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because often we do try to come up with other excuses for what might be going on. Like, you know, they're not into it, or, oh, the other dogs are distracting them, or, you know, things like that.
He has already eaten enough.
Right. It's very unusual to get to that sense of, oh, maybe he's tired. Maybe this is his way of saying, my muscles are done.
Because they think, oh, it was just 5 minutes. It was just 5 minutes. Yeah, but when it's a senior dog, 5 minutes for a first time, when he's not used to it, it's enough.
Yeah. So some of the things I think are important, and I try to get people to watch, is changes in form, changes in posture, because a lot of times you'll have dogs that will keep trying. You know, they want to do that.
They want to please.
Yeah, they get sloppy. And so for me, the way I do a lot of stuff is, you know, I like to do circuits. So I'll do like 3 exercises, and then I'll come back around to that first exercise. And what I like about that is it does give my eye a bit of a break from that exercise, that when I come back around to it, I can see the dog moving and be like, oh, that's not how you were doing it the first time around. Are you already getting tired? And sometimes it means, you know, I need to help them out with a different setup to help them find it, or maybe change the setup so it's slightly easier, but they can still be doing the movement. But that's, I think, one of those kind of fine-tuned ways of recognizing muscle fatigue that you may not be good at seeing when you just start out, but as you do it more and more and you get to know your dog, as you build more and more history for good form, good posture, the dog should be able to do that throughout the entire workout. And so if you start to see that slack in form, that would be a sign of fatigue for me.
But not only muscle fatigue, I think we have to talk about mental fatigue as well, because this is
definitely mental fatigue can play a role as well. And it's part of the reason why, for me, like talking about form and posture and stuff, it's why for me I always go back to kind of the basics, because I always want to be keeping the dog's reinforcement, the dog's willingness to be in good form really high. Because if that is what they have been rewarded for, if that's what they know is good, then it's going to help them try to always be hitting that when they're doing the exercises. And so, you know, if you aren't really working on that, sometimes it's a question of like, well, maybe they just don't know they're supposed to get to that position. So the other thing, though, oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to say something I like to do when I think maybe the dog is getting tired on the equipment. I just go down to the ground on sensi mats and repeat the exercise to see if the dog is able to hold the posture on the mats only. If that works, I think okay, maybe the equipment was a bit too challenging, or that part is over and the dog can go on the ground, and then maybe this is the thing to start ending the session. This is something I sometimes do, also to show my clients the difference between equipment, inflatable equipment, and working on the ground.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it kind of ensures that you do, like, you have that push while the muscles are still a little bit fatigued, because mm-hmm. we always want to be pushing them, bumping them to make them
a little bit more.
Yeah. And so, but we don't want to practice bad form. So by saying, okay, I can tell you're getting tired, let's take away the hard equipment, but still do the exercises, I think that's a really good way to make sure, like, you had a successful session in working on getting them stronger. So what do you think specifically about muscle twitching as a sign of fatigue?
I don't know
that it's really always a sign of fatigue.
I'm not sure. I think maybe shaking is more a sign of fatigue when it comes while doing the exercise, but also it's a sign of maybe the equipment is too difficult at the moment.
Yeah.
But muscle twitching?
Because it is, yeah, the question is, like, is it a single muscle and you're seeing it, like, cause, yeah, I kind of think of twitching as different than shaking. So, like, when they're on the inflatable balance equipment, sometimes you see them get on and they immediately, like, they're shaking, and that's their body trying to find the balance and control it. And a lot of times, you know, within 5-10 seconds, they figured it out and now they can do it. Versus, and so for that, I wouldn't say, oh, that's fatigue. I would say that's just actually a visual representation of them figuring out the balance. Versus if they've been on the equipment for 30 seconds and then suddenly start shaking, that might be fatigue. But again, that shaking, like, to me, muscle twitching is more like you can actually see the muscle, like, contract and relax. Yeah. And I would say, I don't see that a lot, like, twitching per se. Like, you can definitely, especially on shorter haired dogs, see the muscles engage when you're doing exercise.
But that's not a twitch.
That's good. You know, we want to see them engage. But then I guess maybe what I would relate this to is kind of like after you work out, your muscles will twitch a little bit. And again, to me, that's not a bad thing. That's not usually a sign of fatigue. That's usually a factor of those muscles haven't been used for a while, and then they have been used, and you still have
part
some
of the chemical
nerve
process.
Firing. Yeah, some nerve firing going on that is making them contract a little bit. Yeah, I would almost be excited to see that a little bit. You know, as long as it's not
I try to remember if I have actually seen it.
Not specifically twitching. I've definitely seen the shaking.
Yeah. The shaking, of course, yeah, but no, but twitching what during exercising, I can't remember that I've seen it. But
the only other thing I can think of is sometimes when you're doing an exercise, you might get the twitches on the back, Like, you know how you'll kind of see. And again, I don't consider that a sign of fatigue. I consider that more, okay, I'm seeing some of those muscles in the back actually engaging.
Yeah.
So.
I think that's part of how you work, how you handle the dog as well. With the food, if you get them excited, they reposition themselves, get excited, and it's like the posture arrangement. So I think, but that's not for, to me, that's not a twitch. It's
right. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know.
We'll have to think more on this. Like, this mm-hmm. is, I'm now going to really try and watch and see if I see a lot of muscle twitching when I'm working with dogs. Or
I said, I can't remember to have it even seen once. But I will have a look.
Yeah.
I will look closer the next couple of weeks. So maybe.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, great, great question, Laura. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see. We'll start paying more attention and see what we might have an update later on of what we think muscle twitching is. So awesome. Thank you so much to our patrons for sending us questions. We really love the questions you send to us. It makes us think outside the box, which is always fun. So now we're gonna wrap up with
I don't have a box.
We're gonna wrap up with first an announcement from Katarina.
Yeah.
And then we'll do our fun facts.
Who is doing the announcement? Should I do it?
Yes, you should do it.
Okay, maybe some of you already have noticed when they checked on the Flexiness Facebook and Instagram page that we are launching a new product, the new Paw Disc. This is an awesome new product. I'm very in love with it. It's great material, awesome. You just check it out. Have a look when you go on Instagram and Facebook. But my company is launching one color, it's green one, and Leslie and I, we have decided to do a special edition just for Let's Talk Canine Fitness. And as you can imagine, the color will be pink.
Pink.
Hot pink. Yes. So we are doing the new Paw Disc is coming out in a petroleum green or mermaid green, as we call it, and in the regular Flexiness product range. And there will be a pink special edition Let's Talk Canine Fitness pink that will come out soon. So the products are ready. We will post a picture or two on our Facebook site, Instagram, and on the Flexiness Facebook and Instagram side. So you can have a look. And those two, the pink special edition will only be available through Leslie and I personally. So this is something very special, and we have limited numbers available. They should arrive around, I think they are ready for shipping, so we are just waiting till they will leave the harbor, and they should be ready about end of May, I guess, in the beginning of June.
Yeah,
we should have them here, and you will be able to order them. So I hope this is we are very excited about this. But do you want to say anything about it, Leslie?
Oh, I'm just super excited. I know this was something I feel like we've been talking about for a long time and trying to come up with it. And this is the product that I have been waiting for. For anyone who's ever worked with me, I love my products, but you'll hear me talk a lot about like how I, some things, because they are translated from the human side, I have issues with because they're not flat. They don't have a good working surface for the dog. And so I'm super, super excited about this because I think it's gonna basically replace all my discs because it has a nice flat working surface for the dog. We'll have good paw position on it. So yeah, I'm really, really excited for it.
It's cool. It's very, I'm very in love with this product. I'm so happy, and the material is great. It has a nice grip, and yeah, I can't wait till they will be here. So
yay!
And I love this special edition. This is it is kind of our anniversary thing. Because we are. It's 1 year now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are doing this.
It's our 1 year anniversary special edition equipment.
So just wait what's coming through for the second birthday.
Yeah. Now we have to start planning for that.
Don't worry. I have a lot of ideas.
Good.
So, yeah, we will post pictures.
Yeah,
and
exciting.
Exactly, this is awesome. I'm so excited.
And then, so I guess let's wrap up with our fun fact of the mini-sode. So my fun fact for today is that. The normal range of motion measurements that we do in dogs. So we call it goniometry, where we measure the joint angles and we have a set of normals, what is considered a normal range of motion. And my fun fact is that that was developed on Labradors. So one breed. To create that. And I will say since then they have done other breeds and there's been more work, but the set of normals was created that way. So it's just a reminder that we always have to take normals with a little bit of a grain of salt, and always check both sides. So if you're doing actually goniometry on an animal and you feel like something is abnormal on one side, make sure you check the other side and compare to itself. And I will put the paper in the show notes what this is based on, but it was a paper done quite a while ago in the early 2000s, and I think it actually not, it may not be public access, so I will try and find it and get you guys access to it. It is called Reliability of Goniometry in Labrador Retrievers from 2002.
Yeah, that's almost 20 years.
Yep.
Maybe time to...
There was a recent, more recent one done on French Bulldogs. So they're, you know, definitely branching out. I feel like there should definitely be something done on Border Collies with their...
Yeah, and Terrier breeds, yeah. Sighthounds.
Yeah.
I think there should be more variety in dogs.
Yeah.
Regarding the jobs they are bred for. So...
Cool. Yeah. Well, that wraps it up.
Interesting.
Yeah. That wraps it up for today's mini-sode. We'll be back soon with the next full-length
episode
on something fun.
Oh my God. Is it late?
So, let's wrap things up. by remembering to stay fit
and
stay in the game.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk Canine Fitness. If you enjoyed our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and online at www.letstalkcaninefitness.com. Want some bonuses? Support us on Patreon. Every month we will release a mini-sode exclusively from Patreon questions. Plus, other special bonuses you will find only on the Let's Talk Canine Fitness Patreon page. This episode was produced by Leslie Ide and Caterina Mattioli. Music written and performed by Moonfly. Music provided by PremiumBeat.com.